This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hog bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhart, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
New Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots, he scores. Brett Hall, number 500. Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear, he scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I am your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in my comrade, Gary Henson, head coach, McKendree University Hockey Bearcats. What's going on, pal?
How are you?
Well, it's Monday morning. I don't quite know what to do with this latest winning streak, as you know, we typically try to find chinks in the armor. I'm not prepared to do that today.
Okay.
It's not a streak, I guess, because we lost the streak, but anytime you're 7 out of 8, I call that a streak.
I'll give you that one. That's a streak.
You got to go streak, especially including wins in Minnesota, in San Jose, in LA.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's some Debbie Downers out there.
Oh, yeah, we talked about our – and we can mention him on air. It's okay.
You know, our one of our good buddies, Todd Henniser, he's always going to be the cups half empty, and that's where he still is. So hopefully
I gave him the business last night.
Did you?
Yeah, I gave him the old – come on, Butch. And, hey, listen, I'm on record in the past as being a Debbie Downer myself at times, so I understand it. It's frustration. It's 50 years of love. It's a labor of love. Hey, I got to ask you something, though. Okay. Honestly, do you ever do this? I sit here on the intro, and now Thursday's obviously he's in studio, and we know him very well, but you ever listen to the clip on the intro about Kimball swinging wildly at Roenick, and then you look over at him, and you see him, and you think he was the one in Chicago Stadium, everybody wanting to kill him, and his calm demeanor that he has now and how laid back and calm, cool, and collective he is. You ever just laugh when you look at him?
Yeah, I do that all the time. Every time I hear it, I crack up. But you know what? The times I've been here on Thursday, when that comes on, just sneak a peek at him. Just look at him, because he's not so calm. Like, you can see him grit his teeth a little bit still.
I see a smile.
He smiles, but it's a smart-ass smile.
It's like a snicker. Well,
yeah, it's like I popped him good. But, you know, Roenick talked about that on NHL. Or no, on the Dan
Patrick
show.
Well, I was going to say, they play that on the rivalry night all the time.
Right, yeah. But on the Dan Patrick show, he was on, and Roenick said, "I've got a steel jaw." And let one of the Danettes punch him in the jaw during the broadcast. But he said on the air, "Hey, Darren Kimball caught me as good as anybody's ever caught me, and I still didn't go down."
Well, the behind the scenes thing is they actually became great friends, you know, because obviously. But that's an amazing thing, and that's what's interesting about hockey. And I think that's part of the allure to us as fans, is that these guys go out there and try to kill one another, and then off the ice, you know, a lot of them are now. That's not always the case, as we know.
No, right.
But some of the stories these guys have, and again, we try to get one out of them every now and again, and it's just unreal. I mean, it is a great thing. But hey, we're right in the midst of, like I said, a streak. I don't know, Jamie. We will speak to. I have it confirmed. We will have Jamie Rivers today here in about 15-20 minutes. And again, people love Jamie's pissed, and I got to find out what he's pissed about, is it going to be calm, cool Jamie with the babbling brook running in the background? I guess we'll find out here shortly. Before we get moving on here, and you know who we're going to go to here in just a minute, you know, awesome at being awesome, awesome Angela dude. Sharp. Yep. We do want to remind everybody to make sure you check out Blues NHL Podcast. That is our website. It's where you can find the podcast. It's also the easiest place to subscribe. It is free, and it gives you just a notification every time we put out the new episode. Of course, Facebook is great. Blues NHL Podcast, you'll find us there. But Twitter's where we do a lot of engagement with you guys. We try to share some interesting stuff. We like when you guys tell us what you're seeing, what you're thinking. We get a lot of questions through there as well. That one's easy as well, at STL Blues Podcast. That's where you can find us. Again, if you're a Blues fan and you follow us, we are going to follow you back. So we appreciate all the support. If you really are loving the show and you want to support the show, the best way to do so is, especially when we do the show itself, if you just share it, whether you know you see the tweet from us with the new show out, like it and share the post. If you see the Facebook post with us, like it and share the Facebook post. It's the only way that we know to actively help spread the show to all the great Blues fans that are out there, some of them that obviously haven't heard the show or aren't even aware of it. So we do appreciate it, you guys, the fans that are making that happen. And special thanks to lineupmedia.fm. As I always say, people, you know, the radio just isn't doing it for them anymore. People want to listen to what they want to listen to and when they want to listen to it, also how they want to listen to it. You have that choice with podcasting. Make sure you check out lineupmedia.fm. Your entertainment time is valuable. I assure you, it's not just sports. Okay, there's tons of different podcasts on there. Something that you may find that interests you, and who knows, you may be hooked on another one as well from lineupmedia.fm. G?
Yeah.
Before we get to the hostess with the mostess here, you know, obviously we had the one loss, which, okay. But, I mean, really, in the general scheme of things, 7 out of 8, including those wins on the road, if I would have told you that 3 weeks ago with you know, after we went, you know, we had the up after the coaching change, and then we had a little downturn. I mean, it's interesting. It's not a frustrating thing right now. It's almost a, you know, will the real blue, you know, the Slim Shady song, will the real Blues stand up? Please stand up.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster ride. You know, I think I'd like to, when Rivs comes on, I'd like to address Yo's philosophy kind of on rest. Because he seems to be
rest.
Yeah, okay. Like he rests.
I can give you my philosophy on
he did. You know what? They didn't skate on Friday.
Right.
They had an optional and then canceled on Saturday. And I think Allen and just a couple other guys were out on the ice Saturday. But Coach Yo seems to have a pretty good idea of how to keep the guys, you know, fresh. And this is a really hard road trip. I mean, you addressed it last Monday, you know, when you were talking about that dreaded West Coast swing. But, man, 6 points on that swing so far, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. And I just want to – I think it is because of the rest. I think when you do all that – Jamie and Kimby both talked about the time change difference, sure. You know, and just sure. The travel and all that. And Coach Yo seems to be more of the new philosophy of rest is just important as work. Which, you know, I don't know if some older coaches had that same idea.
Well, you know, if you were to ask any of the older guys, especially, and obviously Kimball and Jamie are around it enough that they've heard the story probably 1,000 times, what was the morning skate started for? To get the beer out of the system.
Yeah.
You know.
Sweat out
that. I don't know that that's happening like it used to. You know what I mean? It's
no,
become
yeah.
more of a, so to your point, I'm sure there's, you know, a change, so to speak. And, you know, maybe this is a what's the word I'm looking for here? I'm not going to say a player's coach is too easy, but maybe he's listening, you know. And again, this is not going to be a knock Hitch segment. But,
no, I'm not.
But, you know, my point is, you know, Hitch is going
to
do what he does, right?
Right.
Maybe Yo is more of a, hey, listen, I've learned some things, and I'm talking to the guys, and this is how they feel, And you know what? I'm not saying that's a bad thing either. Sometimes you got to listen to your players if they deserve to be listened to. And, you know, if some guys go to them and say, hey, this is how we're feeling, this is what's going on, and the results are there, why wouldn't you listen? So I would say the results have been there. So whatever they're doing, it's working. I don't know, maybe they're carrying the change in the left pocket instead of the right. I don't know. I don't even really care, to be completely honest with you.
Shooting chili peppers up Lee Jansen's ass.
Yeah, well, Jesus Christ.
Hey, that's a golf reference.
Yeah.
So I think it's more than just the rest, too. You know, I'm trying to get all this out here before Jamie comes on.
Okay.
And destroys anything
we have to say. Okay.
I mean, it's okay if he destroys it, but at least he's not destroying it right now while we're here.
I got you.
You know, too, look how much ice time the fourth line's been.
Sure.
Which didn't matter. This isn't a knock on Hitch.
Right.
It's just a different philosophy. But even when they were playing well and had good energy and good chemistry and everything, in the third period, close games, they didn't see much ice. Well, that's not the case now.
As you know, as we always try to look at it from the fan point of view, what I would say is they're extremely hard to play against. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a we all know how the shifts work in the NHL. Well, if you don't, I mean, it's not like pickup hockey. You're not, I'll get you in 3 minutes, 4 minutes. I mean, these shifts sometimes are 20 seconds,
right.
30 seconds. When another team's top line goes out there, whether it's their one or two or if it is their three, whatever it is, playing a shift against that line versus playing against our top one or two lines is completely different. And for those of you that may not understand that, and I'm sure a lot of you do, but the bottom line is you're going to feel a whole lot different coming back to the bench after you've just played for 30 seconds against that line versus the others. And maybe there's something to that. Maybe they feel like they're wearing on them a little bit, which, hey, you have to always look at it from the other point of view. And wouldn't you feel the same way if you were playing against that line? I would.
I wouldn't want to play against that line. They skate well, and they skate fast, and they are big.
Right.
And even Upshaw, who's not – he's not huge, but he's not small either.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever stood next to a guy, but he's built.
Well, and Reeves, and unlike most
– all of them will take you out.
Right. And Reeves, unlike most what we would call – well, I don't even – the modern-day enforcer, whatever you want to call it. We just need a term for it. But he can skate, and he is fast, and that is a fact.
And he's a monster.
Yeah.
I mean, he's what, 6'3"?
Yeah.
6'4"?
That's
a lot of beef coming your way, and that can wear you out. And they are hard to play against. And, Rives pointed it out, and Panger and those guys pointed it out all the time. They're very good on the defensive side of the puck.
Well, he is a beast. But when you got to have a beast, you got to have a beauty.
That's true. That's true.
Let's welcome in our own beauty, Angela Sharp, with her sharpshooter segment. Angela, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Well, we had a whole beauty and the beast thing going on, and I really thought you'd rather go with beauty than beast, but really it's your call at the end of the day.
Before you answer, I'm going to tell you I'm really good looking.
Oh, gee, many Christmas. We won't be putting
If I have to be the beast, I guess I can handle that.
We won't be using Gary on the cover of any promotional material, Angela. We'll leave that to you. We were talking about, obviously, if you're going to talk about the Blues right now, I mean, even though there was a one-game hiccup, I call it a streak when you win 7 out of 8, including big wins on the road. But we were talking about one of the things that we see in this is the fourth line is just, has played a lot, has done a good job, on top of the other guy scoring and things like that. But we were talking about the fact they're so hard to play against and what a beast Ryan Reeves is. And, of course, when you have a beast, you got to have a beauty. So we thought we'd let you choose between beauty and beast, and it's all your call, of course.
Well, I mean, I think if it's me and Reaver, I think he's got to be the beast. I can't beat the people quite the same way he can.
Well, I would hope not, but it's been an interesting thing. I don't know that anybody saw quite this road trip. I mean, the West Coast is always tough. Still another day off here, and then hopefully we can take care of business. You would think, it's always an NHL team. You can't ever take anybody lightly, but you'd like to think you could go into Colorado and get it done, especially under these circumstances, needing every point we can get. And then they come home, which has got to excite you.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, especially after this road trip that we've had, that they've had, winning those games, getting those points that we needed to kind of bump us up. I mean, yeah, now, you really can't take anybody lightly, but it's going to be exciting to be back at the Scott Trade Center on Thursday just to see the fans, to see how excited we are for this team. I mean, I think this is the team we knew. We knew this team. We had this team the whole time. They could play like this. So now seeing them put things together, keep things going. I mean, Jake played outstanding the other night. It's really cool to see, and I can't wait till they come back on Thursday.
You know, have You know, do you notice a different type of crowd when they've been away for so long? Is it like a rambunctious crowd versus just an – I mean, is it a difference for Blues fans when they – you know, almost like a kid maybe if it doesn't see its parent for a while, you know, they see it, they get all excited. I mean, is it kind of like that?
It kind of is. You know, I mean, I've been there – this is my ninth season, and, you know, yeah, there's always those road trips where they're gone away a lot. But for whatever reason, this set of road games, when those weeks and a week and a half at a time – have hit near the back end of the season. And so I think that makes it even more exciting for fans. I mean, especially, you know, being in the hunt to make sure we get a playoff spot. Yeah, fans are super excited when we come back to the Scott Trade Center. And I think they're going to be very excited when they come back, especially after this set of road wins. You know, Thursday is also the Cardinals at the Blues game. So that's the game where the boys will wear Cardinals warm-up jerseys when they warm up. And those will later be auctioned off for charity for Blues for Kids. So that's always a fun one, too, just in general. But having them come back after winning so many of these games and picking up these much-needed points is going to be excellent.
You know, Angela, I wanted to ask you something. I do a St. Louis Cardinals show with Yadier Molina's brother, Benji Molina. It's called Two Birds on a Bat. Last week, I had Brian Finch on, who runs the Cardinal Hall of Fame Museum and the Cardinal Hall of Fame voting process. We got into a discussion a little bit about the relationship between the Cardinals and the Blues, and it specifically was brought up the night after the Rams had announced that they were leaving, when Tom Stillman and Bill DeWitt III dropped the puck at center ice, almost to show the unity of the two franchises and their respect for the St. Louis fans. I'm sure, obviously, unless there was something crazy going on and you were not there, I'm sure you were there. What was your sense of St. Louis sports fan that evening?
I was there. I'm always there. But, yeah, I mean, that was – I think that was a remarkable moment that those two guys wanted to come out and do. I mean, that was their – they wanted to do that. They wanted to come out together to do that, you know, the whole One Nation initiative, you know, the Blues and the Cardinals. And I don't know if you remember this, but they switched jackets. So Stillman was wearing a Cardinals jacket and DeWitt was wearing a Blues jacket. And I think that even shows you how important St. Louis fans are to both those people. I mean, I've had the privilege of actually meeting DeWitt, and I see Stillman all the time. And I think you can say with certainty that those two men are both very genuine, nice men, just in general. Yes, they're, you know, running these teams and whatnot, but they're just nice, nice people, and they do. They very much appreciate the St. Louis fan base. And, you know, when the Rams left us the way they did, I think a lot of people were mad, and they wanted to show St. Louis that, you know, we're in this together. And so I really do love the cohesion that two teams have. You know, the Cardinals have a Blues night, the Blues have a Cardinals night. And, you know, I know there's a lot of diehards out there who get really angry if you start talking baseball a little before hockey's over, and vice versa when you start talking hockey while the Cardinal boys are in the playoffs. But I think you can be a fan of both, and I think you can be a very passionate fan of both. And that's what I really like about this city, is that you can be a very passionate fan of both. Both these two guys have decided, you know, are kind of on board saying, yeah, support both of us. We're both here, and we basically love you, so come love us. And I just think it's great. And the crowd reaction when those two guys came out to drop the puck was amazing. I mean, no one really knew that what there was going on necessarily, and it was loud and it was awesome, and I think it really proved a point.
Yeah, one of the interesting stories that he told, which I've always wondered, but was that, you know, at that juncture, obviously the Cardinals were involved in the in the talks about the outdoor game. It's their stadium, and in communication with the league office at the very beginning, it had appeared they were going to get a stadium series game, and after that evening, Gary Bettman, who a lot of people like to boo and yell at, and, which is fine, you teach his own. But Gary Bettman kind of saw that, and with the Rams leaving, it really changed the perspective on what was going on here. And that had a lot to do with why the Blues wound up getting the actual Winter Classic. So a couple of guys that get it, for sure, a couple of franchises that get it, and the support that each franchise shows the other one is also second to none. Listen, we as Blues fans love when Yadier Molina comes out and drops the puck, or if Jim Edmonds is in the stands and they pan to him with a video, or even Joe Buck, who a lot of people for some reason like to get. We love that. So I think it's great.
You love seeing that each team support each other. And, you know, over the offseason, a couple of those Cardinals that live here in St. Louis, they were at many games during their offseason watching and supporting the Blues. And you just love to see that.
I know you've probably met a lot of those guys. Is there anyone in particular that stands out that maybe you went and talked to, interviewed during a game that was there supporting the team that kind of anything interesting there? I'm putting you on the spot, I know.
Well, you are putting me on the spot, but that's okay. I mean, this past season, you know, Matt Adams and Lance Lynn were there a lot, but, you know, David Freese has been there a whole bunch, and I know he's no longer a Cardinal, so we're not supposed to like him anymore.
No. He is a Cardinal for life. Nope.
Okay.
He wins
the Cardinal for Life Award?
He is the one player, I believe this in my heart, he could wear a Cubs jersey. And people wouldn't be upset. I mean, you know how you go to the
That'd
Cubs.
Be close.
Yeah, but he can get away with
I'll
it.
I'll tell you what he Game can six, get away babe. With. He's this popular in St. Louis. He plays for someone else and can do an Emo's
That's piece right.
Somewhere.
See, that's what I'm saying, Angela.
That's
this
right.
guy is good
that's,
golden.
That's true.
He is golden. No,
that's another guy that you could chalk up to just genuine, nice guy. And so I'd interviewed him many times when he was at the Blues games, like during our playoff hunt and all that stuff. He was there, especially, you know, right when he was with the Cardinals right after that whole World Series awesomeness that he put forth. And, I mean, that guy really just loves hockey. He just loves hockey, and he was very willing to admit that he would not be able to play it, but he loves it, and there's something very endearing about that.
Yeah, I was speaking of former Cardinals that can't play hockey. Were you shocked? I had thought when Jim Edmonds went out and played in that game that they had the greatest pickup game ever. I'm thinking, okay, it's Jim Edmonds. He obviously has played some hockey. I actually interviewed him before the thing, and I said, so you've been working on this? He goes, dude, this is the second time I've ever been on skates. It's the first time I've ever had equipment on. And I'm like, you're really going to go do this? And he went out and did it and was a sport about it. It was awesome.
That is awesome. But come on, if you were given the opportunity,
oh yeah,
no
you're
matter
right.
what your skill level, to go hit a ball at Busch Stadium or to ice skate on the Winter Classic ice, everybody would say yes and make a fool of yourself later, but at least you get to do it.
Yeah, I think you should have played. That would have been a good one.
Hey, if they would have invited me, I would have done it in a heartbeat.
I got to skate.
But, you know, I wasn't even invited to go out there during the Winter Classic game and have a microphone. So if they would have invited me to any part of that, I would have went. So.
Well, that wasn't your fault. That was because the Blues didn't control that. We all know that story, and it would have been better if Angela Sharp was there. We're all aware.
Hey!
Come on, we know that.
I was just baiting you into saying that. You know?
You know. Well, you're awesome at being awesome. So, hey, you know what? Like I said, this is a great streak. They're coming home. I know you're looking forward to it. Don't forget, everybody, if you're at the game, go find her. Don't get upset if you say, Angela, and she's running the other way, okay? You got to find her where she's at. Take your quick selfie and post it out. Sharp selfie. Got to have it. Got to have a sharp selfie.
That's right. And especially as we near the end of the season, I'm doing less and less in games, so I've got more and more time. So yell at me, and maybe I'll even come and sit and watch the game with you.
Holy moly. That wow. sounds like a great deal. When are we going to a game, Gary?
Thursday.
I'm ready. Okay. Well, hey, Angela, remind everybody how they can follow you.
Oh, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I'm everywhere just using my name. It's Angela Sharp. Angela has two L's. Sharp has an E at the end of it.
Okay, there she is. Awesome at being awesome. Our own Angela Sharp. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Hey. All right, thanks, guys.
Let's go Blues. All right, that is Angela Sharp.
Let's go Blues.
There she is. See, that's what we need. We need one of those, when we get our soundboard, we need Angela saying, let's go Blues. And then we can always hit that whenever we get all excited. That'd be good stuff, but... Hey, she's awesome at being awesome.
True.
I knew she'd, you know, defer to Reeves and let him be the beast. Come on.
Yeah,
she's the beauty in the whole equation.
Yeah, that's pretty given.
No, she's right. It's going to be a great atmosphere Thursday. If they can finish this thing off in Colorado on Tuesday, okay, get two more points, which, you know, they should. And again, the reason I'm confident and I don't feel the letdown coming is one of the things that's been really going on is good goaltender play. I mean, that is... just, you know, it's one thing to be doing what you're doing and not getting the goaltending, but since the goaltending's playing the way it is, I'm ready to play anybody. Let's do it.
No, absolutely. I you know, as a coach, I'll tell you, if your goalie's playing good, the whole team feels it, and it's a boost, obviously, you know.
Sure.
So, there's nothing in my experience behind the bench in 27 years, there's nothing that lets a team down or gets the energy level dropped more than a soft goal.
Yeah, no, you can see it in the faces.
Honestly, and
yeah.
Whether it's a defensive play, you know, a defensive lapse, a forward not getting back, and let's face it, goaltenders tend to make, you know, more soft or allow more soft goals than you know, those guys, obviously. But those are really moments where the bench deflates, and Jake has been unbelievable, so the energy level on the bench has to be really high.
I would think so. They got to feel pretty confident. Well, we've went from beast to beauty. It's time to go back to beast.
Yeah, real beast.
It's our own beast, Jamie Rivers, the man, the myth, the legend. What's going on, pal?
Hey, doing good, buddy. Doing good. Sunshiny day here, putting me in a good mood.
Well, it should. We've had a whole beauty and beast thing going on. We talked about the beast, Ryan Reeves. Then we went to the beauty, Angela Sharp, and now we're back to the beast, which is you.
Oh, I thought beauty and the beast. I thought maybe you already had Kimby on the beast, and now I'm the beauty.
Well, I'll let you two guys fight that out over who's the beauty and the beast. But
No, I'm not fighting it out. I'll just put my truck.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Fighting that guy?
Yeah, I wouldn't fight him either.
That guy's head?
Well, listeners eagerly anticipating always Jamie's pissed. I'm assuming there's not much to be pissed about, is there?
No. You know, I'm pissed that there's nothing to be pissed at right now.
I
mean, really, the Blues are playing good hockey. Jake Allen stopping the puck. Mike Yost making the right decisions. I mean, who the hell can we blame right now?
Well, that's what I was saying earlier, Jamie. I just think Coach Yo has a good grasp of everything that's going on. And one of the things I was going to mention to you, because you will know, is how important rest is. And it's kind of a new philosophy as opposed to maybe some old school, you know, where get on the ice in the mornings, we're practicing, we're working hard all the time, working hard all the time. And now there's this kind of new philosophy where people, you know, the powers that be understand how important rest can be. And it's, you know, Yo didn't have him on the ice Friday. He canceled practice or morning skate Saturday. And I think just Jake and a couple other guys were out there from what I read on Saturday. And so I was just going to kind of reach out to you and see what your thoughts were on that, because it seems like that's part of their success.
Well, here's the deal. And old school, new school, all this stuff. If you really want to go back to old school, old school was more rest way back in the day. I'm not talking the 90s. I'm talking like early 90s, late 80s, mid 80s. Those guys got days off. They didn't do morning skates. If you did morning skate, you had like sweatpants and maybe gloves, no helmets, nothing serious. And then somewhere in the mid 90s, some genius came in and thought, hey, we're going to have a morning skate, but we're going to, you know, jazz it up a little bit more. So everything that you talk about as far as your fitness and your training and lactic acid and stuff, it goes against all that, because you're ramping up in the morning now, day of a game, to do a morning skate, and then you're done with it and you're expected to go have a nap. So instead of getting a flush ride to get the lactic acid out of your legs, you've got to try and crank it up again. So you're really not being the best athlete you can be, based upon the fact that medically it's impossible. You still have lactic acid in your legs. So now you look at someone like Mike Yo, John Tortorella, even Mike Babcock. Everybody's starting to figure out that these morning skates and that extra skating or that extra work that everybody thought was such a great idea, it may not be the best idea. And I think the teams that are getting ahead of the curve here on this a little bit and being proactive with that are seeing a difference in the performance of their team, especially on long road trips and especially at this point of the season. So I think it's a great idea. I was never a fan of morning skates ever. I thought it was counterproductive because I always felt like crap after when I woke up from my nap, legs were seized up and everything, and I knew I wasn't the only one that felt that way. So, you know what? I commend him for, you know, for being a bit of a pioneer with this one and going out and doing what's right for his team.
Yeah, and so to add to that too, Chrome and I were talking about earlier. This is not a negative rip on Hitch thing, but there's definitely a different philosophy regarding the fourth line and their minutes. And under Coach Yo, they've had more minutes. Now, granted, they're playing really, really well, but I think that also too comes to his idea of effectiveness and effective legs. So that is what I say all the time. And I think when you've got the fourth line increasing their minutes, that gives effective legs to the rest of the team late in games and gives them extra jumps on these tough road trips like this.
Well, yeah, you know, and here's the deal. When Ken Hitchcock has the team for a number of years, 5 years, I believe, you know, you kind of get in patterns as a coach. You'll know this, Gary. You get in patterns, and you kind of peg certain guys for certain roles. And no matter how much we say that we're always open to new things, it's difficult sometimes to really, really go there once you're set in your ways on who should be where and what kind of role they should play. So, unfortunately, the fourth-line guys fall into that role with Hitch at the time where he has confidence but only for this, you know, this many minutes. And Hitch was very detailed like that. And he would say, we have to make sure we're managing their minutes and we need to be somewhere in this range from here to here. And he would check, and that's just not just the fourth line, but every line. He kind of had an idea of what he wanted for minutes, which is not totally uncommon for a coach to do. Now, Mike Yeo comes in, and you know what? He doesn't have that predetermined notion of these guys are only going to be playing, you know, 5 to 9 minutes a game, depending on who it is. And then they go through some trades, some injuries, some different movements. And now all of a sudden, the fourth line, quite honestly, is really more of a third line based on their experience level and their effectiveness. So, you know, I don't even think they're the fourth line anymore, quite honestly. And I know that some of the other lines are maybe classified as higher, but I would put that line, I trust that line probably second to any other, to the top line that they have out there for important situations, depending on the score of the game and all that stuff. But yeah, I think it's great. And I think that he's managing the minutes really, really well for everyone across the board. The D are getting good minutes. You know, Mike's doing a real good job of making this, you know, by committee, meaning the whole team is working together. So far, it's working real good.
Hey, Jamie, I talked just a little bit briefly, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, especially all the years you played defense in the NHL and again, getting pounded on by guys that were forechecking the heck out of you. I'm thinking about the minutes that they're playing, the toll that takes on other teams' top lines. It's got to be and no, this is no disrespect to our top three lines. It's got to be a lot harder to play against guys like Brodziak and Upshaw and Reeves when they're out there just doing nothing but running and banging. It's got to take a toll on the body over the course of a game, does it not?
Oh, yeah. I can tell you that, you know, when I used to get matched up against, you know, first or second line, I knew it was going to be a difficult night as far as assignments go because they're so talented, so quick, so shifty. But never once did I ever think, oh, I'm be beat down. You know, I just have to make sure that I have good gap control, that I'm on top of things, stick on the ice, that kind of stuff. Now, when you match up against a third or fourth line for the whole night, it's a whole other ball of wax, man. You know they're coming, and they're coming to try and put you through the boards, take your head off, you know. Now, a little bit of a different era, obviously, but still, you know, same kind of rules apply here where third and fourth line are getting that puck in deep, they're moving the puck forward north, and they're trying to hit you and regain possession. So, yeah, it's a lot. Those are hard minutes to play against third and fourth lines, especially if they move their feet and they're as able as the guys that we have. That's a long night. It sucks. And because even if you're the hitter on a lot of them, you're still, it's like, you know, tiny car crashes going off all over the ice. And you end up finishing that game, and it's like, holy crap, you know, you're sitting up to your chin in the cold tub after, just glad it's over.
Yeah, so, Ribs, remember a while back we were talking about that style of play, and you mentioned that you wanted to see guys play that style more, some guys step up, play that style, and we were kind of like, well, you know, who of the eight or nine forwards that we, you know, on the other lines do we see doing that? But I think with them on the ice more, it leads to what you were wanting to see or what you thought was a good thing. And I think times I've noticed a couple times where Brodziak's line isn't out against necessarily the other team's third or fourth line for the whole shift. It seemed like, you know, on the road you don't get last change, but it seems like there are times when Coach Yeo leaves them out there for maybe 15-20 seconds against maybe the second line, rarely the first line, but maybe a second line, just to kind of, you know, have that physical presence against the other team's scoring line. And to add to that, I think Joel Edmondson's kind of stepped up his physical part of the game as well.
Yeah, you know, and I think Joel had to, and I love Joel Edmondson. And, you know, we've discussed this before in the studio. fact that he came to us with all the sandpaper that he's going to play with. He needs to be that guy. And he is. He's doing a great job. And maybe it just came with a little few more minutes, a little more responsibility. I think he's doing really well right now. And then to, you know, your statement about the fourth line being able to match up against other teams, you know, second or third line rather than just the fourth line. Well, you know what? I've said this several times. If you look at the so-called fourth line for the Blues, you have Scotty Upshaw and Kyle Brodziak that kill penalties. So special teams, they say nowadays, is most important part of the game or close to it. And now you have those two guys that kill penalties. So they're two of the guys that you trust the most with on the ice for penalty killing and to important part of the game. Well, why the hell would you not play them against other teams' second lines, even first lines? I mean, Ryan Reeves is not going to hurt you. He's not. You know, he moves the puck north. He's a big body. He's got a long reach in the defensive zone. So, quite honestly, it's a great move to be able to eat up some minutes in your lineup with those guys playing against maybe some of the harder lines to play against, and then that frees up your top line to possibly play against the other team's fourth line or third line. That's where you get chances to open up the game a little bit because you're moving the responsibility to a group of guys that ordinarily wouldn't have to take that.
Now, I got to ask you, Jamie, because, you know, when you were out on assignment Thursday, out bettering the youth hockey community, which you're always doing, Kimby's still not sold. I think we know how he is. He's a glass half empty guy. He's a show me guy. You know, I ask him all the time.
Oh, my God. He's a wah, wah, wah.
But I ask him all the time. I'm like, I thought you were from Canada. Are you from Missouri? Are you that big a show me guy? But no, he's seriously, he's like, look, I need, now again, I'm sure he's happy with the consistent play and everything, but I'll ask you, are these things that we're seeing from the Blues, especially lately, the trend, the, you know, everything, add it all up, the better play by the goaltender, the fact that we are fortunate to have a fourth line that can play really against almost any line in the NHL. The goal scorers are starting to do their thing. We're getting contributions from young guys. We're getting all this going on, the coaching change. To Gary's points today and your follow-up, he seems to have a pulse for what's going on with this team. Are you more apt to say that you like us heading into the playoffs now more than maybe you did, I don't know, a month ago?
Well, first of all, what did Kimby say about it? Because I want to absolutely slice up whatever he said.
Well, he's not sure we're getting in still. He's still not sure we're getting in.
Oh, my God. He's got to quit drinking in the morning before he goes there. I'm telling you. Right now, this is as good as we've played all year. And regardless of how many games in a row or this or that and the other, the team just looks solid. It just looks consistent. Jake Allen hasn't looked any better than he all season long than right now. So, you know, as far as getting in the playoffs, obviously there's still a chance. And I guess if I'm going to be a fence sitter like Kimby, I'll say, well, you know, you never know. This could not make it. But I'm going to go out there on a limb and just say, yes, I believe they're going to make it. I think that they have enough momentum right now. I think that LA has dug a hole for themselves. I just don't see anybody right now stringing together enough games with the way it's mapped out to gain that much ground on the Blues. Now, if it happens and blows up in my face, then I guess things went really, really wrong. But if they can just stay somewhat consistent to what they're doing right now, they're going to be in the playoffs.
Now, we had one of the titles of one of our shows recently was Let's Be the Team No One Wants to Play. Do you, if we continue this type of play with everything we've talked about, do you see us being that team that maybe the few teams that are above us are sitting there going, man, right now we're matched up with the Blues and this is not somebody we want to play?
Well, absolutely. I mean, look, we're the team that after the coaching change, the trades, this, that, the other, they're rebuilding. That's it. They're cashing it in. They're just going to rebuild, you know, going to be easy 2 points. Well, apparently the boys in blue here forgot to get that memo, and now they're playing hard, and they've got just enough mucking and grinding going on and just enough talent and the goaltending to support it that, you know what, they're going to be a thorn in whoever side that they play. And you know what, they're going to go in there with that lackadaisical attitude. I don't mean not effort. I mean like, hey, we did something already that probably a lot of people didn't think we could do. So why don't we just keep going? Like, it's easier to play without the weight of the world on the back of your neck. And it's amazing sometimes how that works, especially in the playoffs. Like we talked about before, Chromes, it's one team that you have to match up against. So if Mike Yeo and his staff put together a great game plan that's effective against one team, now they have an upset. So I think that they can make some noise. I wouldn't want to play them. You know, quite honestly, I'd rather play a more established team that's kind of been hovering in that spot no matter what for the last couple of years. I don't want to play a team that's, you know, all of a sudden, you know, kicking ass and taking names. And to me, that's the worst matchup possible.
Yeah, the way the whole thing looks right now, L.A.'s not doing themselves any favors. Took another loss last night to Calgary. And if we were to continue on this path, I mean, we lock up in the first round, depending on how the whole thing sits out. I mean, it could be Nashville, it could be Calgary, Edmonton. We're kind of in that group. And I would have to say to our Debbie Downer, Mr. Kimball, that as long as it's not Winnipeg, he's got to like our chances, right?
Yeah, Kimby's got this love fest for Winnipeg, and, you know, I know why, because they're just a big, rough-and-tumble team, and I like them too, but they're not going to be causing any problems anytime soon. And, you know, they are a difficult team to play, but right now they can't string them together, so it's a moot point as far as I'm concerned. I think that the Blues are going to hover between that third spot in their division and the wild card spot. And wherever they end up, they're going to play somebody who I can guarantee you is not going to be thrilled with the matchup. Nobody wants that matchup, I can guarantee you.
Let me ask you this question before we let you go. You mentioned the hovering between the third and the wild card spot. How important do you think it would be for the Blues to be in the third versus the wild card? Or do you really think at this juncture it really doesn't matter?
Well, the way the playoffs is set up by the NHL is stupid anyways. So I don't think it
Hey, tell us how you feel.
Difference.
Tell us how you feel.
Well, no, it's really dumb. Look at last year. We ended up playing the Blackhawks, right? Like, how stupid is that? You play a great season and you're playing your biggest rival, one of the best teams in the NHL. That's a great setup, guys. Fantastic job. So, you know, as far as matchups go or where you end up, I don't think it makes a lick of difference because it's so jumbled up and screwed up that you might end up playing somebody who's tough or somebody who's not, or, you know, it doesn't matter. Just play the goddamn games.
Well, again, the reason I ask that is because I'm looking at the standings right now, and you know, you look over in the Pacific, and again, you've got Calgary and Edmonton fighting for that third spot, and whichever one doesn't get the third is going to be the four. You've got us fighting with Nashville for the third spot, and whichever one of us doesn't get the third is going to be the four, and they're all going to get in, you know. But whether it's going to be a battle no matter what. And again, I think, you know, you lived it, you went through it. I think that's what makes playoff hockey so special, especially to fans.
It is, and I can tell you what, like, you just mentioned two teams, Calgary and Edmonton. Like, nobody wants to play them either. I wouldn't, because they're young and dumb, and they're, you know, they have no idea. They don't – this is a surprise for all of them. Weren't supposed to be here, and they're just doing nothing but getting better as the season goes on. So, you know, Calgary, Edmonton, the Blues, those are like wild card teams. I don't mean in the standings, just in general, you know, like the Joker's wild. And you just don't know what you're up against. So those are the three teams that all the Chicagos of the world, the Minnesotas, those, they're not going to be too amped up to play those teams.
Well, I can tell you that Blues fans are getting excited. It's a long time coming. They'll be home Thursday. Let's take care of business in Colorado Tuesday. Let's get our points, and then let's come home after a nice road trip and get it handled. You know how I feel coming home from these long road trips there, Jamie.
I know. You and Kimby are drinking from the same Kool-Aid
box.
Oh,
here we go. Come on.
The Blues are playing playoff hockey right now.
Yeah.
And if that continues, yeah, that they have to be. And you know, Rivs, from years past, teams that come in late or have to have that playoff drive late, and I don't care what sport it is, have to have that playoff drive late, those are dangerous teams. Look, I mean, L.A., that's what happened to them when
sure.
They won it all. They battled hard, and they were in playoff mode for the last 3 weeks of the season and then won it all. So there's a good positive here.
Yeah, no, and look, all these young guys or guys that haven't had this experience, that haven't been relied upon for minutes in the past while, they're getting those minutes now, and we're winning games. And so when the playoffs come, you're not going to have such a depleted team where you're having to grind down seven or eight guys consistently to get wins. I mean, they're, like I said earlier, they're winning by committee on right now, and that's going to pay off big time as they head into the playoffs.
Well, I'm looking forward to where we're going from here. This is a great time of year for me. I love Blues hockey. I love Cardinal baseball. When the two, it's like there's something on every night for me to watch. I can't get enough of this. Typically what this means is we're cruising into the playoffs. We're not cruising. We're grinding into the playoffs. It's a great time of year. It's a great time to be a Blues fan.
Absolutely, Crumbs.
All right, that's Jamie. Jamie, you want to give a shout real quick to Synergy Hockey. I know you guys are really starting all your off-season stuff. We talked at length about it when you were gone on Thursday. Again, it was easy. It's always easier to talk glowingly about you when you're not here. I don't know why that is, but we can really heap a lot of praise on you when you're not here. So remind everybody again how they can check into some of the off-season stuff you have going with Synergy.
Yeah, we've got spring programming that's kicking in next week. We're going to have lessons out at Merrimack at the Shark Tank on Tuesdays at 4:20 to 5:20. Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, we're going to have small group lessons at the Mills, right where the Blues practice at the Mills. And you can check out all that stuff online at www.synergyhockeyskills.com. And we also have all of our camps up and running and filling up quickly. So please get on there. We want to see all the kids we can this summer and continue to make St. Louis hockey better.
And, of course, the St. Louis Youth Hockey Report, always brought to you by Vincent Mortgage, your good friend Sean Vincent. I know he's such a big supporter of the sports in general in the community, not just professional sports, but youth sports as well. I know Sean's a great friend of yours.
Yeah, Sean's a fantastic guy. He's a guy that does tremendous work with his company. The family has been around forever, and he's the kind of guy that you can go have a beer with at the same time as you're trying to close a house that's worth maybe $500,000, and you don't feel any different. It's like hanging out with one of your buddies. So he's there to help everyone for sure. Great guy.
Let me tell you something. If I ever close a $500,000 house, I'm going to need a lot of beer. So I'm going to call you and Sean and make sure that I don't remember one thing I did. How's that sound?
Now, when you're buying your house, you got to use my wife. She's a realtor, okay? That way we get a little kickback, and then
Holy
I can buy
moly.
The beer, okay?
No, you're buying the beer anyway. But again, Sean Vincent is a great friend of Jamie, great friend of the show. Remember, VincentMortgage.com. You know the number. Everybody knows it, 314-839-9999. Jamie, thanks for everything this week, and we look forward to seeing you in studio on Thursday.
You got it, guys. Good talking to you both. Take care.
All righty. That is Jamie Rivers, our normal host on Thursday. Well, not normal. Did I just say Jamie and normal in the same sentence?
Yeah, I don't think that
I don't
works.
Think that was right. But he's normally here on Thursday. How about that? And not to call anybody normal on this show, because I don't know if any of us are really normal. But my good friend Brad Lee, who might be the normalist of all of us, does a great paper that you get out in front of Scott Trade before all the home games. You can subscribe to it. It's great stuff. I highly recommend it. If you're a Blues fan, you definitely want to read it. It's the St. Louis Game Time. So let's go to Brad Lee with his St. Louis Game Time report.
Hi, this is Brad with the Game Time podcast. Thanks for having me on again. Here to talk about the Blues in the midst of a successful road trip. It feels like the road trip's over, but there's one more game left as I record this Monday morning. So the Blues had a successful time in California last week. I think we kind of said that the Blues really needed to be competitive and to really kind of cement themselves as a playoff contender in the Western Conference. They needed probably 3 out of 6 points playing in LA, Anaheim, and San Jose last week. And they got 4 out of 6, a win in LA, a win in San Jose, and maybe they deserve to at least get to overtime and get 1 point in the game against Anaheim. I know a lot of people said that the Blues probably outplayed the Ducks in that game and were a little bit unlucky. The two goals that happened, one of them was a Jay Bouwmeester giveaway. The other was, I think, a Carl Gunnarsson mistake. So, well, actually, it was a shorthanded goal where they were playing with that umbrella situation where the umbrella formation on the power play, where you have one defenseman back kind of playing in the middle of the ice at the blue line and everyone else is kind of in deep. And they have David Perron playing on the point, which I think is an issue, playing on the point for the power play. And he got caught kind of down low And the Ducks came back, and the puck kind of bounced around a little bit, and then Ryan Getzlaf just pounded and drove the puck home for the second goal, what turned into be the winning goal. So, you know, two mistakes. You take those two mistakes out, and maybe they don't allow a goal. Who knows? And then maybe you win that one 1-0. Or, you know, maybe other things could have happened, and who knows how the third period had gone if it was still 0-0, 1-1. So, regardless, 4 out of 6 points, that's successful, because then they go into Arizona, they score 3 goals. Arizona Coyotes, one of the two worst teams in the Western Conference, them and Colorado, are on the schedule a lot. So we'll get to that here in a second. But really, the thing that struck me about Saturday's game was how in control the Blues were. They allowed a fair amount of shots, I think 31 shots for the Coyotes. It was a good effort from Jake Allen. You know, the Coyotes only really had one power play. It was in the third period, pretty late in the third period, and they couldn't get on the board. And I think, you know, there was a 5-minute major in misconduct on one of the defensemen for the Coyotes for a boarding call on Zach Sanford. It was kind of borderline. I think Sanford put himself in that position, but you still have to kind of control yourself a little bit, especially near the boards and if a guy's facing the boards. Sanford's face kind of scraped down the dasher boards, and there was a little bit of blood, and he had to go to the dressing room for a couple minutes. And, you know, the referee's in that position. You know, he did check him from behind. He did check him face first in the boards. There was a little bit of an injury. I can see where they made the 5-minute major call. But it really took the Coyotes out of the game early, where the Blues scored late in the 5-minute power play, and get on the board 1-0 within the first 7 minutes of the game. But, it, you know, that 5 minutes playing shorthanded really takes it out of you. And then they were down to 5 defensemen for the game. And it just was a snowball rolling downhill where the Blues got a little bit of momentum, and they just started carrying the game. And all of a sudden it's 3-0, and, you know, Arizona's out of it, and they don't really put up a huge fight to get back in it, and the game's over. And that's really the story of the game. So, you know, I think if you go back to last Thursday, the game in San Jose, back-to-back nights, they lose in Anaheim on Wednesday, and then play possibly their best game of the season in San Jose. They controlled a lot of play. It was very physical. I think there were 50 hits in the game, and I believe San Jose had more than 30, like 31 hits, 32 hits, which is a really big number. But the Blues had over 20. So it was a very physical play. I think the Blues really showed that they can be a force to be reckoned with in the playoffs. And, you know, I think it's safe to say that any team that lines up against the Blues in the first round, it's going to be difficult. So they're in the third spot. They're probably going to give that up tonight. Nashville is playing the Coyotes, so it seems like Nashville probably has a good chance at 2 points. They're tied in the standings right now. The Blues are 11 points back behind the Minnesota Wild for that second slot in the division, and would have home ice advantage in the first round. Each team has 11 games left, so there's 22 points on the board. I think the Blues would have to run the table. Obviously, the Wild would have to go 500, not get any charity points, which is possible. It's possible. It's not probable, but it's possible. Minnesota has lost 5 in their last 10 games. They have 2 wins and 8 losses. I got to think they will be able to turn around some point and win 6 or 7 of their last 11 and guarantee that second spot. They're probably not going to catch Chicago as the number 1 overall seed in the Western Conference and in the Central Division. So they're pretty much locked in to second, as long as they just don't go completely into the tank. They're struggling. They're on a skid. If they stop it with a couple wins, you know, then basically the seedings would be set, and then basically the Blues would be jockeying with Nashville for either third in the division or the 8th seed, which is weird because Edmonton in the 7th seed, the first wild card spot, they're a couple points ahead, and they might be a little bit hard to catch because Edmonton's been playing really well. So the Blues have Colorado on Tuesday. Then they're home Thursday, and then they have Arizona again. They have Calgary. They have three more games with Arizona, a couple more with Colorado. So really what the Blues have done is they've played the toughest part of their schedule. They've handled the teams they needed to handle where it was pretty tough games. And now they're facing kind of the bottom of the division, bottom of the conference. And it's put them in a position to really cement themselves as a playoff team. Maybe the 3rd seed, maybe the 8th seed, who knows? and then see what happens from there. And really, with the season the Blues have had, I think that's about as good as we could have hoped for. Because the up and down nature of their play this season, where they've really had a lot of inconsistent play. I mean, there was a stretch for a couple weeks in November and December where they won one, they lost one, they won one, they lost one. They didn't have any losing streaks, but they also didn't have any winning streaks. And playing that kind of hockey for over extended stretches of time means you're throwing away chances at points and you're basically sliding in the standings. Because with the charity point, getting to overtime, getting to the shootout, and getting a point when you technically lose the game, you're going to still be climbing the standings for a team that's losing in regulation every other night. So I think, you know, the chance at finishing second or first in the division, definitely second, was blown away in November and December. I think there were some stretches of play in late December and early January where the Blues played better and showed some promise and it saved Ken Hitchcock's job for a while. And then there was a game in Minnesota on a Thursday, and then they came back and played Winnipeg on a Tuesday and they got blown away. And it just looked like they had stopped competing. And they made the coaching change and the players decided to play better in front of the goaltender. Jake Allen's play improved, and now here we are, where the Blues have a chance to steal a playoff series or two and really maybe play their best hockey this season. You know, previous years, Ken Hitchcock has always been accused of being too focused on the regular season, almost being like Tony La Russa, who, you know, over 162-game schedule was intense and wanted to win every single night. And Ken Hitchcock, I think, is the same fabric, where over an 82-game schedule with, you know, a lot more travel, where you're traveling possibly after every game for the road games and maybe a short home series, there's a lot more travel. It's a little more grueling schedule, less time to practice, less time to fix things. Ken Hitchcock would be focused on winning every single game in an 82-game season. And that's just not practical. And you see teams burn out at the wrong time. And I think you could say that some of the first round teams, the teams lost in the first round for the Blues 3 years in a row, that maybe they peaked too early and they pushed too hard and they didn't have enough for the playoffs. I'm not saying if the Blues are peaking right now, and you know, you could say they are, they aren't. It's going to be hard to judge the next couple of weeks because they play the Coyotes and the Avalanche so much. But if they are peaking now at the end of the season and going to the playoffs, maybe this is the right time. Maybe the timing has worked out. Maybe the coincidences and the schedule and the coaching change and the struggles and now the strong play, it's all coming together. I don't know. You know, as Blues fans here in the 50th anniversary season of the team, I think there's a fair number of us who have been fans for a long time. They want to see some results. They want to see progress. They want to see building on going to the conference final. And much of the season, it hasn't felt like they were going to do that. And now they get to the point where they're definitely, it looks like they're definitely going to be in the playoffs. It would take a massive collapse at this point. So knock on wood, they're going to be in the playoffs. They could make some noise. They could go on a run like last year. You never know. And like I said, Blues fans who have been around the team and have bought tickets for a long time and devoted hours and hours to following this team, you want a breakthrough. You want, I mean, at some point it's going to happen, right? They're going to go all the way, right? That, I mean, the year that you think that they can do it, they don't. And maybe the year no one thinks they can, they prove everyone wrong. I would love for that to be the case. It's just crazy timing how things have come together, and you just never know. So maybe I'm just a more optimistic Blues fan than most. You know, I think a lot of veteran fans are a little more jaded than I am, and I still look for signs. I still look for things that tell me, hey, things are moving in the right direction and they're peaking at the right time and maybe this is the year. And then we get to the playoffs and I will be nervous as I'll get out and I'll say, you know what, don't be optimistic, because being optimistic only means you're going to be disappointed later. So we'll see what happens when we get to the playoffs, a couple weeks away. So this has been the Game Time Podcast. You can find us on stlouisgametime.com. We also do the fan run paper that's sold outside every Blues home game. So look for us Thursday, Saturday, and Monday, as the Blues are back in town for their last three-game homestand of the season. You can also find us on Twitter at @stlouisgametime. And you can find Game Time AM, our radio show, on 590 The Fan KFNS, on 590 AM, 1057.2 HD2, and then on InsideSTL.com. This has been Brad with the St. Louis Game Time Podcast, and back to you, Jim.
Great stuff as always from Brad Lee. And again, I highly encourage you to check it out. If you have not done so, you can get it before all the Blues home games right out in front. Or, you know, once you get it, you can contact him. You can subscribe. You get it sent to your email inbox. It's really great stuff. And again, I've encouraged a lot of people to check it out. I've gotten a lot of great responses from people that really, for whatever reason, didn't know about it or maybe had never given it a try. And they really enjoyed it because it is a fan's perspective. It ties right into our show. Because what we are is a fan's perspective of Blues hockey, and we try to bring that across. You know, obviously it helps to have the guys that have played the game and have Coach Henson in here is to break it down. But the reality of it is I think we approach this as a fan, and we want fans to be in the, involved in the show, just like Brad Lee in the St. Louis Game Time Report. But, no, good stuff as always, and we do appreciate Sean Vincent and Vincent Mortgage. And, again, 314-839-9999. Don't forget our good friend Scott Nelson as well, as Gary starts smiling and his eyes light up as you know, Scott Nelson's become a friend of the Henson clan over here. He'd like them to be better friends if you're listening, of course. But don't forget, they are the name that you need to know in landscaping. If you'd like some splash color in your existing landscape, maybe add a waterfall or a pond. Pond be good for you, Gary.
Yeah.
Transform a new home into a private paradise. Nelson Land has the tools to do the job and do it right. They are the only name in landscaping you need to know. Nelson Land. Give them a call. 636-244-5651 in the St. Louis area. Well established in that lake area. You got a place at the lake. You just got a boat. You need to call them. Have them put some shrubs on the boat. 573-392-9993. That's your buddy, Scott Nelson. NelsonLandServices.com. Great supporters of the show. Good friends of both Jamie and Darren. And hopefully an even better friend of Coach Henson, McKendree Bearcats, Division II hockey.
That's right.
Hey, you know what? I wanted to talk to you a little bit. You guys have been so supportive of the show. McKendree University, you guys have some really amazing things going on there. Kind of a well-kept secret. That's not such a secret anymore in Lebanon, Illinois. Beautiful campus, great things happening. You guys are doing amazing things, not just on the ice rink, but just in sports in general. The academics are fantastic. Just give us a quick rundown of what's going on at McKendree, like as far as some of the great things that are happening.
Well, we're really excited. I mean, we're entering the spring semester, so, you know, baseball, softball, all of that is going, and it's in high gear, and we're excited about that. We have 32, 34 intercollegiate teams. And, you know, just a little quick hit. McKendree, it was founded in 1828. It's Illinois' first post-secondary school.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Are you going to give us like a tidbit each week?
I'll give you a little tidbit. They're the first institution in Illinois of higher education. We have about 3,000 students, about 2,300 on campus, and more than 50% of them are athletes. And so we have the McKendree Metro Recplex we're proud of. If you guys want to get online and Google McKendree, you can. You'll find us at all over the place at www.mckendree.edu. Another thing I want you to Google is McKendree Performance Center. You got to take a look at our dry land facility. We call it dry land because we're hockey players.
Because so it's dry land.
Because it's dry land, you know. But people should check that out and see where our athletes train under Coach Fark. It's an outstanding facility, 7,500 square feet, state of the art. But educationally, you know, I don't think you'll find much better. And the best thing I can say about that is my children are 23 and 18, and they could go really to school anywhere they want. They both did really well academically in their secondary school, and they both chose McKendree. And so I'm not a McKendree grad.
No.
So, and neither is my wife.
But you're a believer.
But we are believers.
I'm sure you are. Well, no, it is a great institution, and I've watched it grow. They're doing tremendous things, both inroads into the communities, the sports programs, like you said. But let's face it, college is about academics. It's about experience. It's about life lessons, things like that. It's a great institution, and you guys are doing a tremendous job shaping tomorrow's young not just athletes, but young men and women. So hats off to you guys. You guys do a great job supporting the show, and we do appreciate it greatly. Speaking of the show, I guess as we close out, your thoughts on Jamie's comments. I'm, you know, again, it's you talk about foreshadowing. We put that out there. I don't know how many episodes ago it was, but we talked about it in here. What do you hope to accomplish? Like, you got to be realistic with your goals, right? Like, at that juncture, the season was more than half over. You know, we were talking about finding an identity, who we're going to be. What should we be? Well, let's be the team nobody wants to play in the playoffs. I look at those teams, and while, believe me, I don't care – at this juncture, that's what's great. It doesn't matter who you play. It's going to be a tough road, right?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So does anybody really want to play us? I mean, I don't know. They could say the same things. Anybody want to play us? I don't know, but I guess that's why you line up and play.
Absolutely. And like we addressed earlier, they are playing playoff-style hockey right now. And that's, you know, Jamie even said, the young guys are getting minutes in that playoff grind. And that's very important. That's invaluable. So heading into the playoffs, yeah, we are the I think we're the team nobody wants to play. I mean, who would want to play a team that's grinding like the Blues?
Well, again, it's great for Blues fans.
Who would want to play against Jake Allen? He looks like a brick wall back there. And then if for whatever reason he's not in the net, Carter Hutton.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're getting contributions all across the board. It hasn't been just, you know, I mean, obviously – we like to highlight when Tarasenko gets the offense going because we expect it, you know, the Tarasenko show, all that kind of stuff. It's great. But the reality of it is, if you really want to make some noise, be happy when you're getting contributions up and down the lineup. And, again, I know we talked today a lot about the fourth line, but the reality of
Let's call it the Brodziak line.
Well, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I respectfully like to call it the fourth line.
Well, I get that.
Because I think it's a weapon.
And
I assure you, in playoff hockey, it's definitely a weapon.
Absolutely.
Because the intensity level that you've heard Kimby and Jamie talk about it, the intensity level is so high, things change. It's not the same game.
Right.
You know, I know, like, who's the flavor of the month all the time? Washington. Oh, Washington. Let's play that style in the playoffs and see how that gets you. It very rarely gets you where you need to go. Now, I know they're talented, but very rarely does that style of hockey work in the playoffs.
Well, the proof in that is look what Pittsburgh did last year.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't play the same style. Pittsburgh won.
Yeah.
So,
well, we will see. We will see. And again, I don't care about anybody else. All I care about is the Blues. So, let's make some noise. Let's do as the guy says. Let's make some noise. You know, I love it. So, hey, great show today. Enjoyed having you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Love having you in here. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you in. I want to remind everybody one more time before we go to make sure you check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's where you can find the podcast. And, of course, subscribe to the show, which is the easiest way to always make sure you never miss one. Of course, Twitter. That is what we want to do. We want to communicate with you guys on Twitter at STL Blues Podcast is where you can find us there. If you're a Blues fan and you follow us, we will follow you back. And if we miss you, don't hesitate to send us a note saying, hey, guys, where's my follow back? I love the Blues. We would love that. Don't forget. Make sure you follow us. Facebook as well, Blues NHL Podcast. And again, special thanks goes out to lineupmedia.fm and their great lineup of podcasts. Your entertainment time is valuable. Lineupmedia.fm takes it very seriously. Check them out. I guarantee you'll find another show you like. One of our sister shows on a different sport is definitely Two Birds on a Bat. I encourage you, as Cardinal season's coming around, check it out. We love doing the show. We love bringing it to you. We're having a lot of success with it right now. Benji Molina has been great to us here, Yachty's brother. The show always provides some sort of insight. I'm sure you'll enjoy it, as well as all the different shows that lineupmedia.fm has to offer. To our producer, Brian Kroc, who does a great job behind the scenes making sure he puts the show together, we thank you very much. Let's go, Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.